Thanks for downloading anything you ever wanted to know from KERA 90.1 Dallas-Fort Worth. You can learn more and support this program at kera.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the all-new 240-horsepower turbocharged Acura RDX. More at acura.com/RDX.
Anything you ever wanted to know on KERA 90.1 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Our email address is anything@kera.org. And that's where we got these. And we have a big stack this week because we had last week off. And thank you for your patience with us. But here are the questions. Michael in Arlington says, I'm trying to get rid of moles in my yard. He says, I've tried human hair, chewing gum, and mothballs, but none of them work. Any humane suggestions of getting rid of these guys? Before everyone calls in and says fox urine, you might try fox urine at your local garden store. I don't know if it'll work, but they'll probably be able to tell you if it will or not. Let's see. Jean or Jeanne here writes, there's a mosque in Frisco. It's gated and always appears to be locked. Does anyone know if they allow visitors? It's a beautiful building, and I'd love to see the interior. 800-933-5372. If you can't get through, email us anything@kera.org. And Anna writes, my soon-to-be husband is an electrician and would like to wear his wedding ring all the time. Is there an inert metal that we can have his band made out of that will not conduct electricity? Let's see. And one more. Let's see. Rehana writes and says, how can I get rid of my house of tropical centipedes that have shown up in my house? These unwanted guests scare me to death, and I do live in a wooded area. 800-933-5372. anything@kera.org. Let's get started with Gene in McKinney. Hello, Gene.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Got an answer for you on the wedding band.
Okay.
The short answer is no. One of the chemical properties of a metal is that it conducts electricity.
Okay.
So there are no, there are no non-conducting metals. In fact, if you're working in, I'm an electrical technician. I work in high voltage situations. And I wear no metal whatsoever except for a steel-toed shoes. My watch is plastic, a Timex. Even my belt buckle is plastic, simply because if the voltage is high enough, you can die pretty easily. So
even a wedding band is something that's risky.
Absolutely, it enhances your body's ability to conduct electricity. So I would say no metal. Not even like if you wear eyeglasses, get plastic frames. Just absolutely no metal whatsoever if you're working in a high voltage environment.
Very good. Thanks very much, Gene. All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything@kera.org. Let's see. This is also from a couple of weeks ago. James says, as of now, I do not own cable. I do not subscribe to cable. And I get my TV programming via the old-fashioned antenna. Would it make any sense to purchase a DVD recorder at this time? Or would the DVD recorder only work once the analog to digital converters become mandatory in a year or so? I don't know whether a DVD recorder can record an analog recording transmitted over the airwaves, and I don't want to pay to find out the hard way. And James is in Dallas. James, I think that if you hook it up, any kind of recording device to your television, it'll record whatever's coming across the antenna. I'm not so sure about the quality, but maybe someone will have a different answer. And let's see, Owen in Highland Village writes, and this is in response to our Mensa discussion a couple of weeks ago. He says, I'm a Mensa dropout. I took the test and became a member in Pittsburgh about 25 years ago. I attended a few social functions but dropped out for lack of time and because a number of the members seemed to delight in acting in a way that I can only describe as intentional, contrived eccentricity. My question is, does the organization keep a national database of former members that would enable me to reactivate my membership now that I've lived in the DFW area for over 15 years? So if you're one of those folks who called a couple weeks ago about the Mensa question, call us back, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. Next up is Jesse in Fort Worth. Hello, Jesse.
Hi, how you doing today?
Doing fine.
sorry about that. I have another comment about the ring. I don't know if the guy is a high-voltage lineman like the gentleman who just called you was.
Right.
But if you're just a residential or commercial electrician, like myself, I'm an estimator these days, but I worked in the field for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wore my wedding ring at work for a long time to no ill effect. If you're working around anything under 480, 480 is about the max you're going to see a normal commercial job. The voltage is not going to be so high that it's going to jump more than an eighth of an inch. We're talking very small jump.
Right.
He can wear his wedding ring and not get killed. I mean, normally in low voltage situations, if the only way a ring is going to kill you is if you touched a live wire with your hand anyway, and the absence of the ring being on your hand will not have affected that.
Okay.
But it did get scratched up.
Right,
very
sure,
badly.
Sure.
So I would recommend just not wearing his ring. Just take it off when you get to work, put it in your pocket, in a pocket you know you won't lose it out of, you know, that watch pocket like I did.
Right.
And just not worry about it. If you get to take it off one day, it's probably not going to kill you.
Well, Jesse, I have a question for you. I've watched some electricians in action doing some rewiring on my house in the past. And is it common, you know, when I'm switching out a light fixture, right, I turn on the light, I go to the breaker, I turn off all the breakers till I find the one that turns off the light, right? And
right.
then I switch it out when I know that there's no power. But these guys, they just go. And I don't know that they ever even turn the breakers off. Is that standard, or is that just a shortcut that's risky, or is it just something that everybody does?
Now, you're talking about 120 volts.
Right.
So it's not particularly dangerous in that. It's not going to jump a great distance. I think the actual way that they calculated it is for every 1,000 volts, it can jump a quarter of an inch.
Right.
So when you're talking 120 volts, you really have to touch the wire with your skin to
okay.
get a shock.
Okay.
And I've been shocked by 120 several times.
Yeah,
and it
me
doesn't
too.
Really hurt that much. And unless you're conducting throughout your body and it actually jumps across the space that is your heart, it won't kill you. So you can actually work live on anything under 277 mm-hmm. relatively safely if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and of course we would recommend that folks in our audience
do not do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
if you're a homeowner, you want to find the breaker and turn it off.
Sure. All right.
It comes with repetition. You know how to hold wires in your hand so that they don't touch you or touch each other. You don't get sparks and stuff. But without the repetition and the knowledge on the job, it's not something you want to do.
Well, Jesse, thanks very much for calling.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Line open, 800-933-5372. Anything at kera.org is the email address, of course, that's always open. And Bryce wrote in about a week and a half ago, since we were off last week. Thanks again for your patience. Bryce says he's listening on the sly at work, or at least was when he wrote in. He says, so a friend of mine and I were talking recently, and I said something was a bald-faced lie. She said, you mean a bold-faced lie, don't you? And he actually bold-faced the bold-faced there, to which I replied, no, bald-faced was what I meant. Apparently, she's always said bold-faced, while I've always used bald-faced. Bryce says, I've looked it up online, but I've never found a conclusive answer one way or another. Could your listeners please settle this issue for my friend and me? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Todd in Arlington. Hello, Todd.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing fine.
I need information on some beginning digital photography and anybody with information on a gardening club that I could join. And I'm in the Arlington Grand Prairie area, and I don't care how far I drive for either one of them.
We'll ask.
All righty. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Next is John in Dallas. Hello, John.
Hello. I'm calling regarding the control of moles.
Yes.
All he needs to do is go to either a full-service nursery
mm-hmm.
or one of the old-fashioned hardware stores, and he can either get poison peanuts or the mole traps. And either one of them you put in their mounds or in their
right.
trails that they do, and they work pretty effectively.
Now he was specifically requesting a humane solution. So I don't know, is there any way to make that you know of to make them just go away?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Well, thanks for your call. I do appreciate it.
All right. Okay.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Vin writes and says, I've written a children's book, but do not know the best way to go about getting it published. Are there publishers out there that are more likely to accept unsolicited works from unpublished authors? Is it crucial to get an agent? Should I get it copyrighted before sending it to the publishers? I would say probably yeah on that. I've done some research online, but do not know which course to take that will give me the best chance at getting my book published. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. You can call us, 800-933-5372. You can email us, anything at kera.org. We do have a couple of answers left over. We had the discussion a couple weeks ago about why there are so many banks in residential areas, et cetera. And Ed in Dallas wrote in and said, banks build locations because the primary reason consumers choose where to bank is due to geographical convenience. He says ATMs speak to this. Lending capacity is regulated by a number of parameters related to both capital and liquidity. Locations have nothing to do directly with lending capacity except as they contribute to financial performance, which affects both capital and liquidity eventually. Thanks very much. And to the perennial question, who is cutting telephone pole advertising signs? I always forget this. I'm going to tape this up on the cubicle wall. Tony in Dallas says the organization Citizens Against Ugly Street Spam, CAUSS.org, are the folks that go around and do that. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Marla in Richardson. Hello, Marla.
Hi. I love your program.
Thanks.
Two answers. First of all, regarding the moles, there is a nonprofit organization called DSW Wildlife Coalition.
Okay.
And they have many, many answers about many things related to urban wildlife. Also, there's a company, I think the name of it is 911 Wildlife. And they will come and do the things if you don't want to do them yourself. And there's lots of things they know how to do about urban wildlife.
911 Wildlife. Okay, very good.
I think that's their name.
Okay.
And they, and 911 Wildlife is a humane based company.
Okay.
Okay. The wedding rings. I was married to a mechanic, and without being in danger of losing his life, there's enough voltage in a car that it could hurt his finger if he wore his wedding band.
Right.
What he did was get a ladder rung, and he carved two wooden wedding bands. And we had that second set. We were also very active. We rode motorcycles and went camping. And when we did something where we feared we would lose our rings or the ring might cause danger, we would wear our wooden bands.
Okay.
So that's it.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Marla.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Answers that have come into the email. Let's see. Jeff and Richardson says, you're right. As long as the DVD recorder has an analog input, it is capable of recording analog television signals received over the air. Also from the inbox, Rolando wants to know if there's anyone willing to teach private boxing lessons in the Arlington or Fort Worth area. 800-933-5372. And Rachel in Garland wrote in, let's see, last week before we were off, or while we were off, and says, I like to cook Thai food at home, but I've never been able to find kefir lime leaves, which are often called for in Thai recipes, so I end up making substitutions. She says, I've tried Central Market, Whole Foods, didn't find kefir, K-A-F-F-I-R, lime leaves there. Can anyone tell me where I can buy them, or am I just looking in the wrong place at these stores? Also, is there a better substitution for kefir lime leaves in Thai food? 800-933-5372. Let's see. Let's talk next. Before we take a break, let's talk to Kate in Dallas. Hello, Kate.
Hello. How are y'all today?
Doing fine.
Well, to the wedding ring thing,
yes.
You know the old joke: men are like tattoos. First, you got to find one you like. Then you got to figure out if you can spend the rest of your life with it.
Right.
I have several friends in active lifestyles and dangerous jobs that have opted to have their wedding rings tattooed on their fingers, so that they're always wearing their wedding band. Talk about commitment.
Right. Right. Well, I guess that's I guess that's one solution.
Uh huh.
Thanks a lot, Kate.
Okay. Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. It is anything you ever wanted to know, where almost any question is up for grabs. And you can call us, 800-933-KERA. You can email us, anything at kera.org. We'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA 90.1 in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. And, of course, you can email us at anything at kera.org. That's where we got this from Cohen, who says, I've noticed that Highway 75 had freshly painted dividing lines. How do they paint the dividing lines on the expressways? Is it necessary to stop the flow of traffic to paint the lines? I think there's just a specialized painting truck that drives along and just shoots the paint down. But maybe they apply them. I'm not sure. Someone will call us, 800-933-5372. David in Denton says, what were those strange lights in the western part of the sky in Denton, Texas, around 10:15 p.m. on Wednesday, June 6? First I thought it was lightning, but the lights continued for about 45 seconds and covered a full quarter of the sky. Did anyone else see it? Does anyone have any idea what it was? And Melanie in Dallas says, why are there no street signs or maps or a website to downtown Dallas underground tunnels like there are for every subway system in the world? I've lived here for 4 years, and I've heard about the tunnels, but every time I'm downtown and I look for them, I never see an obvious way in. Aren't they open to the public? Is there an always open, easy-to-find entrance? 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Let's talk to Chris in Dallas. Hello, Chris.
Oh, hi, Jeff.
Yes.
I don't want to sound preachy or anything, but most of your callers about the wedding ring have got it wrong.
Okay.
100% wrong. Number one, putting a wedding ring on your hand, working around any sort of power, can kill you.
Very good. Okay.
Now, if it doesn't kill you, let's take an example. You take a screwdriver and drop it across 120 volts or something like that.
Right.
You'll burn the end of the screwdriver off.
Right.
That's steel. What do you think it'll do to your finger?
Sure.
It's not the voltage. It is not the voltage. It's the current that kills you.
So it's whatever you draw across that before the breaker pops.
But the breaker will never pop.
Okay.
If you have a 15-amp breaker, you can stand there all day and just fry.
Okay. So take your wedding ring off.
Take your wedding ring off. Get it tattooed. Wear a plastic one. But God forsake, not silver, not gold. They are perfect conductors.
Very good.
All metals will conduct. Even tungsten will.
Okay.
That has a more higher resistance, but basically when you put a metal ring on your hand, it's akin to a doctor putting a pad on your chest.
Okay.
It's real foolish.
All right.
And anybody who's lived through it will attest to that.
Well,
anyway,
I think a lot of people have probably been shocked before.
Yeah.
You know, pulling a plug out funny or something short, you know. I was installing a dishwasher and, you know, got hit way up high on my left arm because I was underneath trying to adjust the legs. And I'll tell you what, and you're laying down and you're pinned to the ground like that and you can't move real fast,
right.
It does sneak up on you pretty quickly.
What will happen is, the other thing, by the way, just to put up my credentials, I'm a double E, that's an electrical engineer, and
sure.
I'm a master electrician.
Well,
so, what will happen is that on 120 volts, your body will naturally pull back, will contract. At 200 volts or better, your body doesn't contract anymore, and it grips, it freezes your muscles.
Right.
So if you go across 220, because you're on a screwdriver, let's say, and you're working 220, and you have that wedding ring, and it nails your hand, you're cooked. You are fried.
Okay. Well, Chris,
so don't take any. Well, my biggest suggestion is don't take any unnecessary chances when you're working around power. And by the way, a car battery will make your finger disappear if you have a wedding ring on it.
Very good.
You can put your fingers directly across a battery, and you won't feel except maybe a little tingle. Even your tongue. Put a wedding ring. Put metal across it though, and you have 1,000 amps. And it's enough to burn your hand off.
All right, Chris. Well, I really appreciate your call.
Sorry if I'm just...
No, it's okay. You know, you're passionate about it, and I think it's important information, so I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, keep up the good work, man.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. I think we can call that definitive. It sounds definitive to me, at least. Let's talk next to Barrett in Dallas. Hello, Barrett. Hello, Barrett.
Hi. Yes. Jeff, you
yes.
there?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, all right. Great. Hey, I really like your show. I just moved to Dallas. I'm wondering if there's a Toastmasters here in Dallas.
There absolutely is. I think it's DFW Toastmasters. Someone will call or email us with the proper web address, but you could probably just Google search for DFW Toastmasters. We've had folks from Toastmasters on before when we've done you know, like 4th of July speech competitions and things like that on the air. So they are here, and they would love to have you, I'm sure.
All right, great. All right. Hey, thanks very much.
Sure, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Pedro says, how about a ceramic wedding ring? Ceramics are actually good insulators and can make beautiful jewelry. Rings are available online. Just Google ceramic wedding ring. Let's see. From Sean, he went to takeourword.com and says, the examples that we cited, bald-faced or bold-faced lie, are actually variations or corruptions of the original bare-faced lie. Bare here means brazen or bold. However, in the 16th century, one source notes, bare-faced meant beardless, a condition at that time considered bold to the point of audaciousness in adult men. So the metaphorical sense of bold, perhaps, came to be applied in bare-faced lie. Based upon these two explanations, the variations bald-faced lie and bold-faced lie both make perfect sense. And he quoted that from takeourword.com. He says, also in regards to moles, my uncle used to put a large screwdriver in the ground and connect it to a car battery. Again, very carefully. Not sure if it worked. Maybe worth a try. There are sonic deterrents, too, that you can purchase. Again, but not sure of the results. Thanks very much, Sean. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ivan in Arlington. Hello, Ivan.
How's it going, Jeff?
Just fine.
I have an answer regarding the DVD recorder getting hooked up to the television.
Yes.
Basically, like I believe an email that you received said you can record any programming out of the antenna into a DVD recorder just like you would expect the VCR to work.
As long as it has an analog input.
Right, which in layman's terms would be the yellow, white, and red cable.
Exactly.
The main advantage to hooking up a DVD recorder to a television versus a VCR would be that you're able, through programming, to record in VCR quality, which would allow you to record sometimes upwards of 4 hours on a single DVD instead of the regular 2 hours on a VCR tape.
Right.
Now, if you have a digital-ready television and digital rabbit antennas or rabbit antennas to receive the digital off-air programming, you can record into high-quality DVD video, which would be the only way to go if you wanted to record off-air programming from digital broadcast.
Very good.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Joy in Carrollton writes and says, I was recently looking for Thai ingredients and swore I saw kefir lime leaves in the Whole Foods in Plano at Preston and Park. There's a large selection of packaged fresh herbs next to the mushrooms. I believe they had the kefir lime leaves. The variety of fresh herbs does not stay consistent. They did not have fresh lemongrass stalks. I have a related question, she writes. Does anyone know where I could find fresh galangal or Thai ginger? That is the thing that I've been unable to locate in my Thai cooking experiments. 800-933-5372. Let's see, also from the inbox, John in a cube says, on CNBC or other business channels, I hear analysts often refer to stocks or bonds with a handle. A stock will have a five handle or something like that. What does this mean? 800-933-5372. And Anonymous writes, I've heard banana peels are poisoned to keep tarantulas off the bunches and were therefore not good in the compost pile. Is this true or false? Let's talk next to Bob in Dallas. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, how you doing, Rick?
Doing fine.
Hey, this is for the lady that had problems with the centipede?
Yes.
Yeah, on the inside of her house. All she has to do is just go get a couple of gecko lizards and turn them loose inside the house.
At the pet store or someplace like that?
Yeah.
How big are the geckos? Because we have little tiny geckos that live around our house from time to time.
Right, and if you ever go down to the Dallas Zoo, they're the ones that actually do all the extermination, pest extermination down there.
Oh, really? They just have geckos running everywhere?
Right, geckos. And they're very shy, so they'll always stay out of sight. And obviously, if they don't do their job, they'll die off. But typically, they just take care of your pest problem.
Are they the tiny little ones that are just a couple of inches long, or are they really big?
No. You're right. 2-3 inches long.
Okay. Very good.
And just let them, tell her to get a couple of them, just turn them loose inside the house, and there you go.
Thanks very much.
See ya.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Brandolin in Dallas says, ever since I first shaved years ago, I've been haunted by shaving bumps. They're very painful, make it hard for me to be confident in my appearance, etc. I've tried everything short of going to a dermatologist since I don't have the money for it, but I'm approaching wit's end. Can anyone give me some suggestions on how to deal with shaving bumps? And let's see. Dana writes and says, yes, Mensa keeps a registry of past members. Just go to the web address, mensa.org. She says, I was flattered at joining at age 12. My hyperprotective mother deemed none of their social functions appropriate for a preteen girl. I re-up when I was grown and single. The members can seem cliquish, but you can go online at mensa.org and find out about re-upping your membership. Also, the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators is a great group which can explain the best practices way to get a manuscript looked at, but which also can provide anecdotes of the accidental surprises, like J.K. Rowling. And their website is scbwi.org, a Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Joan in Plano. Hello, Joan.
Yes, hi, Jeff. I used to be a master gardening instructor in Tennessee, and we had lots of moles and voles up there. And basically, I'm all organic, and so what I have is a homemade recipe for chasing moles out of your lawn. They may end up in your neighbor's, but they won't be in yours anymore.
Okay.
And it doesn't hurt them. What you have to do is take 2 tablespoons of castor oil, which you can get at Walgreens or any drugstore,
yep.
And 3 tablespoons of a mild dish soap, like Lemon Fresh Joy.
Yep.
And
does it have to be a lemon-flavored dish soap?
It doesn't have to be lemon, but okay. It can't be something like Dawn that cuts grease. It has to be a real mild dish soap.
Okay,
and Lemon Fresh Joy is about the most mild that you can buy these days.
All right.
10 tablespoons of water.
Yep.
And you actually mix this concoction in a blender.
All right.
And then add 2 tablespoons of this concoction to a gallon of water.
Okay.
And you spray it all over the lawn, drench your lawn early in the morning, and then water it down. And moles absolutely despise castor oil. And it really doesn't smell bad for people, but for some reason they just cannot tolerate the odor.
What about pets? Does it have any effect on your pets?
I have dogs and cats, and it never bothered them a bit.
Okay.
So, and also, if somebody doesn't want to deal with that and make their own homemade recipe, there's a great website called gardensalive.com, and it's an environmentally friendly gardening website,
mm-hmm.
And they have a mole relief liquid mole repellent that's also made out of castor oil. That's about, I think it's about $20 for a couple quarts.
Okay.
And you just mix a couple tablespoons with a water and a sprayer again, and spray it on the lawn. And it always worked for me. The moles were gone within 3 or 4 days.
Seems like this is pretty cheap, though. Let me just go back over the recipe again. 2 tablespoons castor oil, 3 tablespoons mild dish soap like Lemon Fresh Joy, 10 tablespoons water, mix it in the blender, and then you spray it at the rate. If you have one of those sprayers, you could just adjust the rate, right?
Oh, yeah.
2 tablespoons per gallon of water. You drench the lawn with that, and then you water the lawn with regular water.
Right, so you'd have to wait till one of the days when, you're allowed to water your lawn.
Right, exactly.
And you really wouldn't want to do it in the middle of the hot day anyway, because with the oil like it is, it could burn the grass tips.
Okay.
So you want to do it early in the morning and then water it in real well, and the moles should just flee. They should run.
Okay.
Because they can't stand it. It worked well for me in Tennessee.
Very good. Joan,
thanks very
much.
You're welcome.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. From the anything at kera.org website, email inbox we got from Matt in Dallas. I saw a product in a gadget magazine, perhaps Sky Mall or Heartland of America, to drive away the moles. It was shaped like a spike driven into the ground and runs on batteries, produces annoying pulses that are inaudible to humans, and does not harm the moles, but apparently works according to the manufacturer, of course. And let's see, Ross says kaffir leaves can be bought at any Asian grocery stores. There are a few in the Dallas area. One is called Hong Kong Market, and there's one on Beltline in Carrollton. And let's see, Vernon writes and says, you are correct. Thank you, Vernon. The painting and obliteration of the old markings on the highways is done by a traveling work convoy with a large truck. I've noticed this type of work being done late at night. You might have noticed the inconsistent lane markings on North Central near Plano. This was because the work could not be completed in one night. And Celine in Fort Worth says, the fact that you write a poem, compose music, draw a picture means that it is yours and it is copyrighted. To protect your claim, you should put the copyright symbol, which is a C surrounded by a circle, and your name on the work. To further protect your claim, you can register the copyright by submitting paperwork to the Library of Congress. She says, in most cases, when you sign a contract for publication, you sign over the copyright to the publisher, and you as creator agree to receive royalties. The work does not belong to you or anyone, and your name will appear as creator, but not as copyright holder. Very infrequently, the creator retains the copyright, and the work is published by someone else. But you'll see, I've seen at least with blockbuster novelists or writers, I think that their contracts generally allow them to retain the copyright. At least that's the trend, I think, once you've sold a million books or so. Let's talk next to Leslie in Fort Worth. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine.
Well, okay, I have a 6-7-month-old golden retriever puppy.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you. And we cannot get her to stop jumping. And it's not just when we first come in the house and she's excited to see us or anything. It's, you know, all through the day, everything. We've tried most of the conventional ways of, you know, turn around and ignore her, tell her to sit, things like that, and nothing will stick. So I was going to see if any of the listeners have any creative or innovative ways of training a small puppy like that, a golden retriever puppy, to not jump on you.
And you've tried, what have you tried?
Well, we've tried, you know, when she jumps to turn around,
right,
turn our back to her, so she'll calm down a little, things like that. You know, tried telling her no, just trying to be constant with things, but nothing will seem to stick.
You know, there are probably 1,000 different answers to this. Have you tried the snap leash technique?
No.
It's the snap leash, it's a chain leash that goes around their, you know, the chain collar that goes around their neck, and you attach it to a leash, and you just leave it on them all the time, and and this is something I actually got from Operation Kindness, training manual, because my wife and I also have a relatively new, young, less than a year old puppy, and, you know, in the training process, when you say no, if you follow it with a quick tug on the snap leash, at least that's what the training manual, and some people probably disagree with it. But it's uncomfortable for the dog, and they learn to associate no with that. But
right.
I'm sure we'll get some, you know, so look that up.
Okay.
But I'm sure we'll also get some other advice for you, so stay tuned, okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure. Line open, 800-933-5372. Of course, you can email us, anything@kera.org. We'll be right back after a quick break. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA 90.1 in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. For the rest of the hour, it's Anything goes on the Anything You Ever Wanted to Know show. Just call us at 800-933-5372 with your questions or answers. You can also, of course, email us at anything@kera.org. And from the You Never Know Who's Listening, and boy, it makes me kind of nervous department, Elisa, who says she is a local Mensa proctor, writes and says, once you're a Mensa member, you do not have to requalify. If you happen to have your member number, it is the label. You still have a copy of the magazine. If you still have a copy of the magazine, you can go right to the website and request reinstatement. If you do not have your membership number available, or if our renewal process does not recognize your number, contact member services with your full name, city and state at the time you were a member, the year you were last a member, date of birth, and any prior names that may have been attributed to your membership record. She says, we ask this for this information so that we can easily locate your membership record. Also include your current name, address, phone number, and email address if available. And you can send all this information to America Mensa Limited, attention reinstating members. And there's an address in Arlington, Texas, which you can probably find on the website. But if not, we will post that on the Anything page at kera.org, which you can find by going to kera.org/anything. Thanks for that, Elisa. Let's talk next to a very patient Lynn in Princeton who's been holding for a long time. Lynn, thanks for holding.
Hi, thank you very much. I have three golden retrievers. I have a question, but I also have three golden retrievers, so
okay.
I got some info on that.
Please.
The chain collar, first of all, should only be put on, if you're going to use one that's all chain, should only be put on when you're training and not left on it all the time.
Oh, right.
And but they do have some training collars that are sort of webbing most of the way, and then chain goes through a loop on either end of the webbing, and those are set to where they just kind of tighten up. When you give the little pop on the lead, you're
exactly.
not trying to choke the dog or hurt it. It just gets its attention.
Right.
So there's the
absolutely.
Deal on that.
And I've trained two dogs with the chain collar, and yes, you're absolutely right, and thanks for correcting me.
Oh, good.
You should
and
never leave the chain collar on a dog when they're not, you know, in your vicinity so that you can monitor them at all times.
Exactly. And then there's also a right and a wrong way to put those on if you do use the chain ones. One will release the minute the leash is slacked off, and the other one stays tight. And the way you know it, if you're looking at your dog and you're trying to put the collar on,
uh-huh.
you want the part of that chain that goes through the other end of it to go up over the dog's head and toward you. And if you put it on your wrist or something and try it both ways, you'll see one
right.
way where it just automatically releases. So if I have my dog at a heel position to my left, I want it coming over the dog's left side of his neck, going through that other ring up toward me.
Very good.
So there's that. Also, they need a job. They need to, and a job can be learning to sit, do a down, a stay, and a heel, and that will help calm the dogs down. And an excellent book for everybody who has a dog should have this book. It's by two people, but one of the authors is Rutherford. It's called How to Raise a Puppy You Can Live With. Has lots of good stuff from, you know, the development of the puppies to, you know, lots of good things for older dogs and this kind of stuff, too. Dallas Obedience Training Club, DOTC, they can Google it, is in Dallas. They have good court classes. And another good one is called Top Dog in Garland. And you can get good info on those. Are the good places to train.
Very good.
Okay, let's see. And then my question was, and then one last thing. When they reach to pet the dog, don't reach and try to pet the dog on the top of the head. Pet it alongside the shoulder, the side of the neck. The dog is jumping up also to reach the hand.
Right, okay.
Okay, now fossils. I've been finding some fossils on the Denton County line on 380, kind of between Denton County and Wise County.
Mm-hmm.
Some great ammonites, which are cephalopods. And
right.
clams and shells and snails and things. But I know there's some places to find fossils more in North Dallas, and I was wondering if any of your listeners knew some good fossil-finding sites.
You know, I don't know any specific ones in North Dallas. I would say, as a former geology student, any place there's a road cut that cuts through the Austin Chalk Formation, which is the white rock that's about, if you live in Dallas County, it's about 2 feet down when you start digging.
Yeah, yeah.
Any place there's a road cut, really, of any kind of chalk or shale is a good place to find those cephalopod fossils and a whole bunch of other fossils. So
mm-hmm.
that's because, you know, that was once the bottom of sort of a calcium carbonate shallow ocean, and there were, you know, lots and lots of
mm-hmm.
Of fossil-bearing or fossil-leaving creatures. But I don't know any specific locations. Of course, if you're on the highway or on a busy road, you want to be really, really careful, especially if you're hunting with the kids, because
yeah.
you know, the cars are still flying by. But that's my suggestion.
Somebody had mentioned in the past some sites, and of course after a rain when things wash
sure.
out. And a long time ago, I took a historical geology course at
right.
Richland, and we went on 3 field trips, and I know out by Carswell, and I'm trying to remember even where these sites were. It was close enough for us to get to on a class trip and back. But, that's just
well,
curious
we'll
about
ask, yeah.
something closer than Denton and Wise County. But there are good ones up there, too.
If not today, we'll try to get an answer for you next week.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Line open, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Sika in Dallas. Hello, Sika.
Hi, I'm calling about the downtown underground tunnels in
yes.
Dallas. There's several entrances, and I was just calling to let the lady know that the most easily identifiable one is the Bank of America building. There's dining and light shopping underground. It's nothing really fancy, but if she just goes to the information desk of any of the big buildings, and as for directions to the tunnels, they'll tell her it's not a secret or anything.
Okay.
And basically, just taking the escalator down from the ground floor will put you right in the tunnels. And from there, you just follow the crowd, especially if she's down there during lunch, because most of the workers downtown go down underground for lunch.
Very good. Thank you very much, Sika.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Also got an email at anything@kera.org from Debbie, who says, check out downtowndallas.org for downtown Dallas maps and information. Paul in Denton says the light in the sky in Denton was caused by a power outage in southwest Denton when a rat snake got into a power station. Says there was an article about this in the Denton Record Chronicle this morning. Let's see. Lauren in Denton says regarding shaving bumps, a few suggestions. Go to Sally Beauty Supply. They sell something called Bump RX. It's targeted for men, but there's no reason women can't use it. And they may have products targeted for women as well. That said, the top 10 ingredients are alcohol and salicylic acid. So just you might just try a moisturizer that promotes smooth skin or skin renewal or something like that. You can get those at grocery and drug stores. Lastly, how about an over-the-counter antibiotic ointment? Anaya writes and says, try an electric shaver. I had problems with shaving bumps and ingrown hairs on my neck. Now I use an electric shaver and apply baby powder to my face and neck before shaving to help the shaver glide more easily. Since I started using an electric shaver, the bumps have gone away. I have to shave every day instead of every 2 or 3 days, but the bumps are gone. Nicole says, I found Galangal in bulk in the produce section at the Hong Kong market on the northwest corner of Walnut and Audelia. It's a great resource for hard-to-find Asian recipe ingredients. Yes, that is. There's another one, TNL Superfood Store. This was suggested by David in Euless. And this TNL Superfood Store is on Beltline Road, and it's TNL, three letters. David wrote this in Euless, but the store is located in Irving. It says, I've never found a single chain store market with great selection of ingredients for Oriental cooking. However, there is an specialty store in Irving that has everything, including fresh galangala root, picked muli, and all the specialty cooking gear. They also have a fresh seafood market. And that's it, TNL. 800-933-5372. Let's get one more on this from Michael in Highland Park. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
How are you? So I do have an answer, actually, to the other. There is a chain market, Whole Foods Market, Highland Park, on Lemon and Lomo Alto. Actually have all three that your listeners had questioned about, where to find them. The galangal root, lemongrass stalks, and also kaffir lime leaves.
Excellent.
Plus tons of, like, mushrooms, all sorts of bulk mushrooms that you probably can only find at, other ethnic grocery stores.
Very good. Thanks, Michael. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk next to Rebecca in Denton. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi. Paul stole my thunder because I did have an answer to the question about the lights in Denton, and he's right. It was a rat snake caused the power arc, which made the sky light up. But I also have a question, if that's okay.
No, go right ahead.
I was wondering, this may just be me, I hope it's not, but every time I step out into the heat when it's sunny in a parking lot, for example, I will sneeze a lot. And I was wondering why that is.
I've heard that there is some sort of reaction that human beings have. They sneeze, some people sneeze, when they look into the sun. Don't go out and look into the sun to test this out, because it's really bad for your eyes, really, really bad for your eyes, to look directly into the sun. We absolutely don't want anyone to do that. So maybe you have sort of the disposition to sneeze when you encounter brightness. I don't remember why or exactly what causes it, but someone will, and they'll email us or call us, and if we can't get the answer today, we'll get it next week.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Let's talk next to Ellen in Dallas. Hello, Ellen.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to call in about the copyright issue. I didn't hear the original question, but I caught the email that you read on the air about the copyright transferring over to the publisher.
Yes.
And I published a novel last year, and I'm not a big-time name or anything, but the copyright stays with the author. You have basically granted the publisher rights to print or distribute your work, but you own the material, and it is in your name, and the copyright should always go to you. So I just want to make sure people understand that, because there are some publishing houses that are not so credible that will try to prey on your ignorance in that respect.
Yeah, I've seen it both ways. I've seen authors who the copyright, on the page with all the information. What's that page in the book called?
The copyright page.
The copyright page. There you go. where it says all the publishing information, what the edition is, and all that stuff. Sometimes it says, copyright Ellen in Dallas. Sometimes it says copyright whoever the publisher is.
It depends on the deal, but largely for fiction, you should retain the copyright, so look out for that. And also, I've heard that a lot of editors and agents say that if you register your copyright with the Library of Congress before you send your manuscript in for submission, it is the mark of an amateur. They're not going to steal your work, so I would advise people against doing that. Your work is protected by copyright on its creation, so there's no need for that.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate that.
All right, thanks.
All right. Let's talk next to Gus in Dallas. Hello, Gus.
Hey, Jeff. I was getting call screened when I heard the lady mention the answer to this question about the entrance to the downtown walkways.
Right.
There at Thanksgiving Square, the only public kind of door that I know of that goes to the outside is at the Pacific side of Thanksgiving Square. There's a doorway on the bottom of the square that goes under Pacific.
Right,
right. And it goes into Thanksgiving Tower, and that connects you with a bunch of the walkways underneath there. So it's like Pacific Avenue and Irving and Ackard, where they both meet at Pacific. It's right there.
Yeah, of course. And I totally spaced, and that is a great place to access. Now, are there lots of restaurants and things down there?
Yeah, all around the tunnels there, there's various restaurants and little, hot dog shops, things like that, to kind of fun to see.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks very much, guys.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let's talk next to Curtis in Fort Worth. Hello, Curtis.
I was calling about the shaving bump.
Yes.
Well, I just caught the tail end of the people that I think were telling you to use lotions and some other shaving products or something.
Right, right.
Okay. But basically what happens when you shave is, you see this in older men have kind of less wrinkles than their wives usually, is that you scrape off and exfoliate the skin cells. And so basically what you have is an open epidermis in certain areas where the blade is hit. And you have an open sore, basically, you can consider, like, I mean, it doesn't bleed usually unless you nick yourself, but the best thing you can do is don't pat your face with the towel at the end. Just let your face air dry. If you really want to do it, run cold water over your face, which will pretty much shut your pores and hopefully contract that skin around that area. And you should be able to kind of get those bumps from happening. So
very good. Thanks
all
a
right,
lot, Curtis.
Bye.
Let's see. Time to squeeze in maybe a couple more calls. Let's talk to Aloke in Irving. Hello, Aloke.
It's Alok.
Alok, yes, go right ahead.
I just have a question about, like, snakes. I'm saying nobody knows any way that, like, possible to avoid snakes in your nearby area. Because, like, last 2 weeks I saw two snakes in my backyard. And those are, like, pretty long ones, like 3.5 feet, brown color. I don't know what, is there any number to call to come catch those? Or if there is a way to, is possibly using any medicine or anything to avoid those in your area.
Well, it's a question we'll probably have to answer next week, but we will try to answer it for you.
Yeah, and I heard, like, it's in the neighborhood. It's quite the number of families, they said, like, they have been noticing snakes. So recently, I would say, like, it's been...
Are you near a wooded area or a creek? Or?
It's a bit away, but, like, yeah, I would say there's a lake nearby.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see if we, like I said, we'll see if we can get an answer for you next week.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks very much. Anything You Ever Wanted to Know is produced by yours truly, engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Thank you very much, Jeannie. Let's see, Fiona's out today, and Maggie Conklin answered the phones. Thank you very much, Maggie, for all of your hard work. You can subscribe to the Anything You Ever Wanted to Know podcast at kera.org/anything. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with us about the show or answers or questions or anything really, please email us at anything@kera.org. I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you very much for listening, for calling, for participating, and have a great weekend.